Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Divine, all blessed, peace and love, joy and prosperity, revelation and manifestation. You are now tuned in live to the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Elegun Oloye, Hoodoo Obeya Bokor. sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, revolutionary, evolutionary, healing, and holistic from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective, understanding that all is indeed a blessing. If you can just see beyond the veils, for it's all just an illusion and a test and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my ever-living reality. And it is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, my teaching, my walk, my work, and my demonstration along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. It is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father Earth. And it is the place where I begin, where I realize, crystallize all my endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny, and I alone create and co-create my divine, all-blessed reality. And so it is, Ashe, Ashe, and Asheo. You are now listening live and always in archive at your leisure and convenience to the Divine Prince, broadcasting from this beautiful, enchanted, and most haunted city in America, New Orleans, Louisiana, the land of my ancestors and those who came before me along this hoodoo Obeah life path and journey, passing down the great Obeah stick, along with the knowledge of the healing, life-giving herbs, roots, plants, rituals, spirits, the traditions. And often when people are asking and looking for evidence, there it is. There it is. And it might be too basic. It might be too simple for people to grasp. But that's where the evidence is. That's where the practice is. That's where the tradition is. And so it is at this point, first, of silence that all creation sprang. And it too shall be from this point of silence that we shall begin. And then I'm going to roll into this. It is from the mist that we begin this cosmic dance and universal mind expansion and transmit. It is the origins of the primordial river and the transcendent serpentine fires, moving, dancing, elevating us consciously higher, higher to greater stance of consciousness and understanding. Divine light beaming upon my face and feeling every single trace of incompleteness and fear with light, power, Ashe, provoking my inner knowing of clarity, completeness, wholeness, transcendence of all illusion and fear, vibrating with the linear cosmic universal vibrating lighting sphere, fire and light combining to produce illumination and amplification, activation, and spiritual elevation. I would also like to take this time to show honor and appreciation to the elders and the ancestors who have laid the foundation upon which we all now stand. We are one and one in cosmic universal unity when we stand with our ancestors. Our ancestors understood this, and now we too again traverse our destiny to this understanding and rebirthing divine wisdom and comprehension into our present and urgent earth plane existence. It is in this moment we stand with this multifaceted, multidimensional crystal, atom, molecule, all-encompassing power and creation. And it vibrates with us, above us, below us, beneath us, within us. But we are at our most empowered when we stand with our ancestors. And that is why we are at war. That's why this is a battle. And a battle is fought on many levels, on many fronts. It's not just about violence and dropping bombs and all the stuff, you know, that we see more at the governmental level. But for us, and particularly here on the ground, in the trenches, at the crossroads, it's about economics. It's about how we live, how we survive, how we move forward. So the battle is being fought on many levels. It's being fought in books, and those who manage to complete books and produce books and publish books and get those books out. And we often see that as the standard. We often see that as the Bible, some would say, particularly with some authors and particular pieces that come to mind. But at the end of the day, the voodoo has always been, shall always be at the level of the people, at the level of the people. And when you're competing with, in competition with, in battle with, at war with economics, politics, rules, regulations, systems, governments, and then your people, your own community, who are still struggling to regain consciousness, who are still struggling to even come to ancestors, let alone voodoo. We fought over spelling. We fought over semantics. We fought over French and Creole and English and Spanish. And at the end of the day, the practice is in the DNA. It's in the blood. It's in the genes. This is a blood religion. This is a blood religion. It's a blood religion. And we politicize even that, which is why I stress. And anyone who's studying with me, any of my godchildren, and there are many, will tell you, I stress DNA. You can't work with me personally, privately, intimately in these traditions without that. It's modern. It's new. We resist modern. We resist new. But it shuts down a lot of the arguments. It shuts down a lot of the battles. Now, as I want to do, I had really well-structured, written material that I was going to dive into today, but spirit is always first. Spirit is always in control. Spirit is always the lead in my house. And spirit worked through Facebook today. Give thanks, William Boss. Give thanks, Milton Moore Bay, because we are at battle here. And many people, I almost said unfortunately, but it just is what it is. Many people see this from the outside looking in. So that's not an unfortunate, it's just a reality. You see us through Facebook, you see us through YouTube, you see us through the internet, through the media. Some of you make it down. And often it's unplanned, it's unscheduled, and then you get here and realize you, some things you just can't do unplanned and unscheduled in New Orleans. My schedule is overwhelming. So the ability for me to like meet a person or a family spontaneously is usually not plausible. I'm either going to be already locked into a schedule at Earth Odyssey or on a movie set or something, or even in my own ministry. So please, reach out to me, email me, and I'm not talking to one particular person, I'm talking to many people because this is a reoccurring theme. We want to connect with you. We want to share the community with you. But what happens is you often reach out for what's most visible, and anyone who has a popular book, a popular face, a popular theme is going to be first in that line of communication. But often those people have very little real connection to voodoo. And unfortunately, just because it has voodoo on the door, Marie Laveau on the door, hoodoo symbolism painted on the wall, you know, might even have museum in the name, and some of you now know the reality of what I'm saying, doesn't mean that it has anything to do with the tradition. And that is because you're dealing with commercialism, tourism, a level of politics that only people who live here, operate in here, deal with this every day would truly understand, because it's overwhelming. And yes, unfortunately, beloved, if they don't want you here, they can run you out. They will run you out. They can make it very difficult for you to operate. They can make it very difficult for you to do what you need to do here. You either got to have your own economy, and that's why it's important that we support each other. Now, I don't want to digress because I don't have a whole lot of time. This is a 30-minute show. I would love to take calls. If anyone would like to comment, contribute to the conversation, my call-in, live call-in number is area code 347-215-8967, 347-215-8967. It is important that you press that number one on your telephone keypad. It lets me know that there is someone in queue that wants to speak, and then I'll open your mic and I will invite you into the conversation. There are many levels to this. I've covered it in many shows. I've covered it piece by piece. You know, I've given those who are at the beginning level elementary information. I've given shows of much more deeper information. I've had people call in. I've had locals participate in this very topic several times over the years. But it has taken on a new gravity of urgency. And there are many reasons for that. One of the reasons is the expanding gentrification, the expanding of expansion of the entertainment district, which was greatly debated before Hurricane Katrina, about even that happening and the allowance of that. And in my own opinion, that really got pushed through primarily because of Katrina. It made it much more possible for contractors, politicians, business people to sort of do what they do and get some of their ideas pushed forward. Now, right now, I'm not here to say whether that's good or bad. I don't want to digress from the subject matter too far, because we can talk about that for a whole hour, whether that's going to be good or bad, who that's going to benefit. As always, when there's gentrification, when there's new stuff, old stuff gets pushed out or pushed to the side, overlooked or neglected. So there's a big battle right now over Mahalia Jackson Theater. And many of you know that Mahalia Jackson Theater shares the property with Congo Square and Armstrong Park. And we've done many shows about the history associated with that, all the way back to slavery, all the way back to the origins of jazz, the origins in the presence of voodoo, which is why we're here today, the voodoo. So the misinformation is rampant. There's those who just don't know what the hell they're talking about. There's those who have a clearly defined agenda, for lack of better words. And then there's commercialism. And commercialism affects it in many levels. There's still the fear factor. You have millions of people coming here every year. They're wanting tourism. They're wanting entertainment. So they view voodoo as entertainment. They view voodoo as part of the New Orleans experience. But they're not seeing religion, culture, sacredness is even a great word to use right now. They're seeing something that's performance oriented, for hire oriented. So that chisels away at the face of what voodoo looks like and what people say voodoo is. And you know that often because you say something and you say it enough times, people tend to accept that as the truth, as reality, and as what is. And it's not always factual in that way. That's how rumors survive. So then there's the real voodoo, the authentic voodoo that absolutely abhors that environment. You're often not going to see them in the French Quarter. You're not often going to see them in a performance setting. When we get ready to do sacred ceremony, that has to go private. It often has to go underground. And it's a very political thing. You know, the priestess, the voodoo queen, the mambo, the voodoo chief, the practitioner might not like A, B, or C, might have an issue with this person, that person. Some people don't want photography. Some people don't want people of other races present in the ceremonies. And it gets very complicated, very complicated. So you can't kind of show up and on demand say, where's the voodoo? Point me in that direction. You have the theologist, the historian, the author, the movie writer, that's all coming for the culture, for the tradition. And they want the experience, and they want the information, and they want a document. And then there's a layer there where that becomes problematic, where the local's image is all over Europe, all over France, Germany, and then the local talent is not being compensated. It's not being recognized. So, and that goes for not just voodoo, that goes for Mardi Gras Indians, baby dolls, all of these distinctly, uniquely New Orleans cultural perspectives. They're at war now. So there's the survival of what's authentic, the survival of what can be counted as real or authentic. But then you only have certain people who are doing the documentation. Often not us. Often not us. And so the money, the benefit, the structures that are necessary to keep culture alive, to keep people alive, are being dwindled away outside of the community, and that which is authentic is left to survive, butt naked, in isolation, on its own. Now, the brother posted a response that he got from the Voodoo Museum, which I thought was really peculiar, because on the one hand, as I said earlier in the show, you got voodoo on your door, you got your shingle out, and you know you got millions of tourists coming looking for that. But then the response that he sent the brother suggests someone who don't believe in voodoo at all, or is suggesting that it's somehow trickery. So are you the president of the trick? Are you leading the trick? Or are you somehow trying to provide a more authentic perspective? And the person that you got that response from is white, by the way. And not that white automatically discredits you from understanding. You know, we have people here who have been truly dedicated to understanding, documentation, and they've caught a hard time in the community for doing so, and they are white. So I'm not discounting because he's white that you got that response. But we're talking about someone who doesn't do voodoo, isn't a part of voodoo, doesn't support voodoo, but is running a voodoo museum and is now, as you now have evidence, trying to give perspective to what voodoo really is here. And so you're getting a response from someone who's only interested, invested for the money, but culturally is actively working to undo the legitimacy of authentic practice. And what struck me out as most alarming, which is why I sort of responded to you, beloved Milton Moore Bay, in the way that I did on Facebook, is when you asked, you know, well, what do you think about what he had to say? That was the most alarming part of your post for me. And that his moniker has museum in it, which gives a person who's not well studied, I could have said several things right there, not thinking clearly, not sure what they're looking at. It gives it some sense of authenticity. He talks about not accepting money for service. And again, you're talking about the second poorest state in the union. Traditionally, historically, factually, now, not just back in the day of slavery, even now, he talked about the practitioner who works until they're sick or ill, you know, or harm themselves in some way, which is real. That's a reality. We see that with also pastors, ministers. If you're truly working authentically with people in spirit, in concern, I can do 20, 25 readings a day. I'm hearing people's problems, people's issues, and people expect magic. People expect miracles in 10 minutes time with you. But this guy suggests to you that that's evidence of an authentic practice. Practitioners. So I suggest when that practitioner becomes ill and is in poverty because they're not being supported in their work, where do they go? And why is it that he and many others are able to survive, feed their children, their grandchildren, build a reputation for themselves in the community, be seen as somehow authentic resources and depositories of information about our culture, our tradition? And let's be clear, I'm no Reverend Ike. I've never gotten on here and begged and pleaded and performed for donations and really begged people to call me and made that like my thing. Some people say my show is too boring. Some people say my show is too information oriented. Some people say I don't do enough cussing and carrying on and I don't play enough music and that's not why I'm here. That's really not why I'm here. I'm not here to hear the sound of my own voice. Entertaining. I'm appreciative that people find my show entertaining, but I'm here for the survival of the tradition. And that's a revolutionary act. It was back then, and it is now. My very survival is dependent on it. My very life is dependent on it. And that of our community is dependent on it. Our own survival is in our ancestors, in the traditions of our ancestors. I'm not here to choose what culture, what tradition, that you adhere to, that you decide to re-initiate into. But I do suggest that you do your homework before you invest a lot of money and time and studying Yoruba. Find out how much Yoruba blood you actually have. I've taken many initiations, many levels of training, and I stopped before I reached a certain level and took that DNA test. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that. It supported and promoted and backed up a foundation of voodoo for me. It's in my blood, my family's blood. And that is our survival. That is our answer to ending the violence. That is our answer to beating economic oppression, racial oppression, being beat down by the police, being beat down by society. being beat down by each other. There's the love, appreciation, and understanding of self and who we are individually and as a people. And unfortunately, and particularly here in New Orleans, that's always going to be a battle between what's truly real, authentic, what feeds us in our soul, why we get up and do what we do every day, why we come together in Congo Square, or this will wither away into a tourist Walt Disney event. It'll just be here in New Orleans. And so without you all supporting the tradition, believing the tradition, practicing the tradition, I'm overwhelmed by the numbers of people who are actually getting into ancestral worship, which I believe is the first step in the foundation. Probably 50% of what voodoo truly is first having that ancestral foundation. So if you just can get into worshiping your ancestors, praying to your ancestors, bringing them into your space, your personal space, your lives, your inner space, introducing that to your children, I believe that the rest will grow organically, whether you become a Kan, Yoruba, Iwe. I believe it's all contingent on who you are. Please take that test. I know there's a lot of arguments about DNA, and, you know, please. Find out who you are, find out where your root is, and then build on that. That's what I'm here for. And there are many signs to people like who sent that response to you, brother. There are many signs to who's really not about the practice. And for somebody like me, and I assume my listeners, those signs should be obvious. Those signs should be obvious. If people are not rooted and the ancestors and the love for the ancestors, then it makes it real easy for them to denigrate, disrespect other Black people. When you see them getting on and calling folks sambos and niggas and all this kind of stuff here, you know, and every comment is a negative about what we won't do and what we can't do and what we ain't capable of doing, it's built on that elitist mentality, and that elitist mentality is part of the problem here. And that comes in blackface. That's part of the battle. Now, there's a war right now between Yoruba and Voodoo, or Santeria, Lokomi, other paths that are considered organized, more civilized than Voodoo. Voodoo has always been viewed as savage in the New World. It's because of slavery, it's because of racism and oppression, but it's also because of a orchestrated, systematic attempt to demonize this tradition, this spirit that really birthed revolution in a new world. We may not be here today if it were not for Voodoo, the legacy of Voodoo, all the way back to the Haitian Revolution. Even before the Haitian Revolution, because we know that it was here, it had already arrived before, but the Haitian Revolution gave it nerve, gave it steel, gave people a vision of what could really happen if we truly embrace our roots. And I believe truly, and it's not just a belief for me, it's a vision, it's a prophecy. It's something that I truly see. I see a day, and not in a long time either, in the near future, when larger amounts of African-Americans and even other races of people, but particularly African-Americans, will return to embrace on a more serious level traditional African-based religious system. I've seen it in a dream, I've seen it in a vision, and I believe it. I believe it. I see it happening, I see it moving, but I also see a move against it. So you've got to support this. You've got to support me and others who are truly trying to not only teach and rebirth these traditions within our community, but who are serious about it. We have people coming from out of state, out of town. You know, they're doing tours now and videos and movies now about hoodoo and voodoo and all of this here. But then they're going back to California. They're going back to Seattle. They're going back to Arizona. And they're not invested at all in what survives here and what makes it here. I appreciate my opportunities in movies, in TV, in commercial, to bring not only voodoo, but even other roles that allowed me to bring the essence of voodoo. It still helps to keep what I'm doing present and alive for people. And there will be many more opportunities ahead coming. I'm right now in production with a documentary. It's about me, it's about my wife, but it's about being a voodoo practitioner, how that happened, how that came to be, of course, what New Orleans voodoo is, my experience in that. There will even be some parts there about masking Indian and my experience with that. So I'll have an opportunity to speak to that. It's being directed by some of the same directors who did Black Girls Rock. If some of you saw that, remember that. So I'm expecting it to be a big thing. So I'm very careful right now about what I say, what I'm saying, how I present my material, because of my goal, again, is for the rebirthing, the revival of these traditions within us, around us. In a way that I believe began in the 70s, sort of with the Swahili movement, really has taken on a whole nother life now with the advent of social media, the internet, and the availability of information. We have the ability to read and study and learn these traditions in a way that's never been present before, outside of secrecy, outside of protocol, outside of your inability to travel to another country, to be initiated into something, to learn something. And initiation is not entirely necessary for ancestral worship. There are those who initiate into the specific traditions surrounding ancestral worship based on their lineage, based on their ethnicity. I now know and have documented proof that I'm Iwe, that I am Nigerian, but I'm more Iwe than I am Igbo. And so my voodoo is ingratiated for me in that knowledge. It has given my commitment and connection to the traditions another life. But there are traditions within the Iwe or within the Igbo or within the Yoruba that are very specific to how they worship ancestors. And that's where lineage comes in. Often when you're in conversation with someone in the Lakomi tradition, you hear talk, often a coded talk about lineage. And lineage is about your blood, but it's also about who was before you in your spiritual, religious path within that tradition, who your godparents were, who their godparent was, who their teacher was, who came before you, is lineage. And so those two things marry each other in these traditions, and that's how we find our journey, our path. We, born here in America, whether we like to admit it or not, have taken on sort of American ideals of freedom and liberty, even Black people. And rightly so, we have a resentment and an issue with authority and systematic traditions, things that have too many protocols. We want to feel like, you know, I can sort of pick and choose and find my way. And, you know, I'm a little bit of this and I'm a little bit of that, but I'm not really committing to anything. We even see a sort of swelling right now of anti-religious means and texts in general, which I don't think is entirely healthy in this journey. because religion takes on a whole nother faith in Africa. It's not like Christianity. It's not like Islam. It is not like Judaism and Hebraic traditions and all these other really many faces of the same thing. I often see Islam as the same coin, just different side, different face as Christianity. And I include all the grandchildren, for lack of better words, of those traditions. And to include Rastafari and this sort of Black Hebrew Israelite movement, they're all just Christianity and the Bible with a Black face, with culture painted on top of it, and many of the same oppressive rules, regulations, protocols, traditions are still being kept alive by way of that. And we've had decades now of experience with trying everything else. We've tried everything else, including politics, including socialism, including, you know, everything else but who we are, but ourselves, but our root. And that's why survival is. That's where my survival has come from. Personally, I've survived life. I've survived childhood. I've survived being on the streets. I've survived every attack possible that could come on a Black man like me. And I accredit it to the voodoo. I accredit it to the voodoo. I accredit it to my ancestors. Those powers, those traditions, those forces, seen and unseen, known and unknown, understood and overstood and misunderstood. My godparents, particularly Mama Ye Ye, may she rest in Oberon. She died about 2 years ago. Many of you know her from Facebook. Many of you know her from the Atlanta, Georgia area, Kansas City area. She used to say all the time, baby, y'all are just getting by on your ancestors. And when she said y'all, she meant those of us who haven't quite found the path or who haven't been initiated or who haven't really reconnected with our root so that we have some, you know, direction. You don't just throw a dart, you know, at a map of Africa and pick what feels right to you. Though that's organic to the process, I'm not suggesting that you don't do that. You know, yes, there are things that feel right, that made sense, that I was wearing, that I was buying, that I was interested in long before I took this DNA test. The DNA test just proved what I felt in my spirit. So follow your spirit by all means. Spirit is more real, more tangible, more evident often than that which we can often manifest in the physical realm. But take that DNA test. I cannot promise you enough how empowering that information was for me. It dispelled rumors in my family. You know, we Indian. We got Indian in our family. That wasn't true. When I took my test, I found that wasn't true. 83% West African. 83%. And more than many of us think that we are. You know, there's this segment of our community that thinks that we're all mixed and we're all watered down and that somehow means something at the conscious level. And often that's being spouted by people who've never taken a DNA test themselves, who don't have a clue, you know, how Black or how European or how Native American or how Asian they truly are or are not. So I think it's relevant. I think it's useful. It was valuable enough that I took it. My mother took it. My youngest sister took it. Me and my younger sister Wapani are my mother's only two children. Many of you know I have many siblings present on Facebook. My father has many children. But I love my brothers and sisters, and their DNA is just important, too. But it was important for me to understand that my DNA was different from theirs, so I had to do myself, my mom, my sister, and I invite all of you to do the same. But continue to support Voodoo. I appreciate each and every one of you who's present.